So my name is Eric Chang. I'm director of photographer at Lytro, and we're really excited to be here at South by Southwest because for the first time we are seeing actual camera owners with our products. So we shipped about 11 days ago, and this is the first event we've done since shipping the product. So thanks for having us. Before we start, I'd like to find out or ask who in the audience considers themselves to be, like, do you consider yourself to be an advanced shooter or hobbyist? How many of you are serious hobbyists? So you, okay, that's like most of the crowd there. and how many of you are more casual photographers? And does anybody there only use an iPhone to take pictures? Okay. Well, that gives us an idea of the audience here. So I thought I'd start really quickly by talking about the history of photography. This is going to be relatively brief. So the first cameras were these plate cameras from the early 1800s. And this was the first time it was possible to take an image from the real world, in 8 hours then. Obviously, things improved rather quickly. And by the late 1800s, film had arrived. And for the next century, taking pictures with film was the norm, and this really democratized photography. You know, anyone could buy a camera for not that much money and take pictures of the things around them so they could archive their memories. About 100 years later, digital cameras arrived, and that is, of course, what we all know and love right now. So what is the light field? In the mid-1800s, people were still trying to figure out how light propagated through the physical universe. And so there was this idea of light rays traveling in space proposed in the mid-1800s. About 100 years later, the term light field was actually coined. And so there was this theoretical concept of a light field around then, even as it might apply to photography. So the light field is defined as all of the light traveling in every direction, at every point in space. So that's a somewhat lofty definition. But all photographs come from the light field, and this is the light that flows into your camera's lens and strikes your film plane or the digital sensor. So in the 90s, this concept of a light field was really formalized in a practical sense. So in the 90s, there were some seminal papers written that talked about the light field as it related to computer graphics. So this would be essentially ray tracing. You know, you have a virtual 3D environment, you trace the light around, and you get very realistic projections of what this virtual environment is like. So this, of course, led to 3D movies and computer games as we know them today. In the 2000s, lab research was done in the light field domain. Now, this picture here is the Stanford multi-camera array, which was built in part by Dr. Bennett Wilburn for his PhD thesis, and he now is one of our Lytro employees. So this is the first digital light field camera. It's an array of over 100 cameras. It's literally the size of a room. And so in the 2000s, the first light field camera was built, and you can see it required quite a bit of computing power and storage, of course. At that time, our founder and CEO, Dr. Ren Ung, who is sitting right here in the audience, was also at Stanford doing his PhD in computer graphics, and he took a look at this and said, "Wow, that's really cool. It's not very practical." I'm paraphrasing here. and he switched his research into the possibility of building a light field camera in a single handheld camera body. So this was the big revolution here. And in fact, in 2005, I got to see this thing. That's me. I'm very excited, obviously, to see this first prototype light field camera. So what Ren did was figure out how to take that room full of cameras and miniaturize it to fit in the body of a single camera. So that brings us to 2012. The light field sensor is now consumer ready. A light field camera is consumer ready. And that light field sensor is essentially that room full of cameras miniaturized to fit in one sensor. So in a decade, or really 2 decades from this concept being formalized as a practical idea in computer graphics, we now have a handheld light field camera that is suitable for consumers. And I should say also that it wasn't just the hardware that was being developed during this time. Light field is highly computational, and so the algorithms are equally as important, if not more important, than the hardware. So let's go back to the slide that shows what we're calling camera 1.0, which is film, camera 2.0, digital. Now, if you look at these two forms of capture, they are actually based in the same fundamental type of capture in that they capture 2D data that is projected onto the film plane or the digital sensor plane. Right? So the light field strikes the sensor, and at every point, all of the light is averaged, and you get a color and intensity. Right? So that's how normal cameras work. Everybody knows that. And what the light field camera is really a new category. It is not just a camera. It's an entire category of capture. So a light field camera captures this very rich four-dimensional data, and we'll go into that if you want to. And what that allows us to do is computationally output these projections as two-dimensional pictures, which is what we're all used to, but also three-dimensional and interactive output. And this is something that we are not used to, and whenever we show it, people don't really know what to think because it's a very, very new concept. So light field capture sits very squarely in the realm of computational photography. So all of these pictures that are being shown have gone through a light field engine and have been processed by algorithms that have taken decades of research. And I had it actually overlap a little with the digital cameras because they were really the beginning of computational photography. You know, every digital camera essentially has a computer built into it, and there's quite a bit of processing involved before you get a picture as we know it today. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about light field capture. What is it about a light field camera that makes it different from a traditional camera? The main difference is that the light field itself is what is recorded with every shot. So what that means is that at every point of capture, we preserve the direction of light. And that is a very important distinction from what a traditional camera does, which is throw that information away. So at every point of capture, we have color, intensity, but we also have these two angles which describe the direction that light ray was traveling in. So this is why we're calling it four-dimensional capture, or the light field is four-dimensional capture. Okay, so the secret sauce here is the light field sensor, and of course all of the computation, all of the algorithms that go into the projection of an image from a light field capture. Okay, really quickly, this is the Lytro light field camera. It is designed 100% around its zoom lens, which is an 8x optical zoom at a constant aperture of f2. And you can see that the lens actually takes up a significant amount of the body of the camera. So in the front of this camera, we have the lens, which is, as I mentioned, 8x optical zoom. Behind it, there's a light field sensor, and light field engine and battery behind it, and a glass touchscreen. It is designed to be a simple camera, a camera that can essentially be used as a point-and-shoot camera to capture light field images, light field pictures. It has two buttons, just a shutter button and a power button. The zoom is a touch-sensitive strip on the top of the camera, so you just run your finger along the top of the camera to zoom in and out, and it's an optical zoom. And we have a micro USB on the bottom for connectivity and a glass touchscreen where all of the other interaction happens. Okay, so why do we care about light field capture? What is so interesting about it? The first is that we're capturing much richer data from the real world. So even though this is a computational photography product, which is not something that we say to normal people because it sounds scary, we are actually capturing more information, more real information from the real world. So instead of throwing away all of that light field data that comes in to a traditional camera, we preserve that data. So this is important because we are actually capturing more of what is actually out there, the light that is actually flowing through the lens. It is also the first fundamental shift in photography. So we've had, obviously, an incredible camera revolution from plate to film to digital to phone, you know, to these iPhones which can capture pictures that can be shared very easily. But all of them really fundamentally work in the same way. So this is the first real shift in the way pictures from the real world are captured. One thing that's important about what this does is that it ties photography to Moore's law. So instead of being ruled by optics, and you know, which we all love as photographers, of course, you know, nice lens is beautiful. But what light field photography is going to do is really tie photography to computation instead of optics. So this is a very key point because we will start to see light field photography improve, you know, at the same on the same curve that computers do. It opens up many new display and interaction possibilities. And I'll talk more about this in a minute. And of course, this is just the beginning. So this light field cameras have been available to consumers for 11 days. So this is a pretty... How many of you have actually used a light field camera? Okay, that's an unusually large percentage. I was going to take a picture with no one's hands up and then come back in 2 years and see what happened. So let's talk about some of these new possibilities. So refocus later. This is something that most of you have probably seen on our website or in person with demos. This is one of the very early pictures taken with a prototype camera of my friend's baby. This is the kind of shot that makes parents very sad because obviously the baby's out of focus and you've just missed a moment and you know in a week they look totally different. And so that picture can be refocused just by clicking on baby Kai's eye here. And so how is this accomplished? Here's this this image of light flowing through a lens. So if you look at the lens on the right-hand side, you can see, this is very simplified, so if you're an optics person, I apologize. But you can see some of these light rays are not intersecting, right? They're hitting different points of the lens. And if they came from the same object, that would produce blur. Now what's interesting is if you trace those lines a little bit further back, you'll see that they do intersect, right? At some point, some of these lines intersect, and that's where that object would have been sharp. So because we know the direction of light for each one of these rays, we know that they're going to intersect a little bit further back. So if we virtually move the sensor plane back, we virtually project it on a plane further back, we can refocus the picture after the fact. So again, this is vast simplification. Ren's PhD thesis talks about this in great detail, and you can download it from our website if you're interested. And the first chapter is totally human readable. So, refocus later. We have that now. Later on this year, we will roll out all in focus. So anything that can be refocused sharply will be in focus in a single frame. This is requires stopping the aperture down for your photographers out there in traditional photography, but we can do it fully open at f2. So you can expose as if you were shooting at f2, and then you get a tremendous depth of field. Something else that we will roll out is this idea of a perspective shift or a parallax shift. This is something that I'm going to show you in a minute using an internal viewer. But this is the idea that you can sort of move, you know, wiggle your head around in the background and have the scene change as if your perspective were shifting. 3D in stereo and beyond. And the reason I write in beyond and beyond is because traditional 3D is accomplished by showing each eye a single picture. right? So you have, they're usually captured with two camera setups, and you need, at the moment, glasses or, you know, one of the very few glasses-free displays out there. But because we essentially have full 3D depth maps behind every image, our 3D in stereo has a lot more potential. We could do, for example, lenticular printing, where you have many points of view in a single picture. And these are things that we're not used to seeing yet. Of course, there are a bunch of theoretical possibilities, and this was really a quick brainstorm to start this conversation, really, with you, with the creatives out there who will be using this technology. We get asked about adjustable depth of field a lot. This is certainly a possibility. So instead of having this projection at F2 and all in focus, you could have fully adjustable depth of field, adjustable apertures. Since the aperture is essentially virtual, we can do a lot of very interesting things here. This is something that gets photographers excited. We have tilt shift. You know, because we virtualize the sensor plane, we can just decide that we want to tilt it, and we get tilt shift that's not the fake kind that a lot of the quick filters out there do. Okay, it's going to get a little more fluffy here. Advanced multidimensional visualization. So what does that mean? Well, we don't really know. I mean, this is the idea. This is what we're saying. This is really the beginning. I mean, you can brainstorm for hours on this and never repeat the same idea twice. Now, editing in the light field domain. So how many of you are Lightroom or Aperture users? I assume most of the room. So they have 50 sliders, and you slide them back and forth, and your picture changes. We know, photographers know how to use those. Everybody else is totally confused. We could have many more sliders in this domain. So you could have an app with 200 sliders if you wanted. But the point is, editing in the light field domain is multidimensional and can incorporate depth. So you can do a lot of very different sort of filtering or editing in that domain, and that is something that we are working on as well. And then, you know, to drive the point home, a bunch of question marks. I mean, this is really just the beginning, so you know, it's possible that we don't know how people will be using it in the long term, and that is the most exciting part, really. Okay, so some quick specs. We get asked this all the time, so you can find this from our website, but I'll just list them here. It's an 8x optical zoom at an F2, aperture F2, constant across the entire zoom range. We are calling this an 11 megaray camera, and that is because each point of capture is not a pixel. So we do get asked all the time, what is the resolution of this camera? And we ask, what do you mean? Because we collect, you know, 11 million units of light field data, which we call rays. If you want to do a two-dimensional export, you want to export a JPEG, we output about 1.2 megapixels. So this is 1080 by 1080. And each raw file with a new extension, .lfp, which stands for light field picture, is 16 megabytes. Okay, starts at $399. We just shipped to first customers. If you order it now, you get it in April and May. This is really just for Q&A, because I know it's going to happen at Q&A. It's Mac only, which is probably okay in this crowd. Yeah. And I should say it's Mac only right now. We are working on a Windows version, which will ship in 2012. Okay, so the real reason for this panel with one person on it. So consumer light field photography in the real world. So for whom is this camera? The most common thread we've seen is that people are looking for new creative potential, new ways to express themselves for whatever reason. And the reasons are all very much individual. You know, everybody has their own reason for being interested in this sort of capture. And it's for people who want to learn what's coming. A lot of professionals fit into this category because this camera was designed for consumers, for normal consumers, not necessarily for professionals. Having said that, a lot of pros see light field as something that could potentially revolutionize all imaging. So they are buying the cameras and starting to learn about what light field means. And we can talk about that a little bit later if people are interested, because it's affected my own photography in a profound way, even using traditional cameras. And finally, gadget lovers. So a lot of people like to own the newest and greatest thing, and at the moment, this seems to be it. Okay, so what I want to do on stage here is a live demo. And I'm going to take four different kinds of pictures with this camera here on stage. It is quite dark in here, so we'll see how this works. This doesn't look dark to us, but I'm trying to take a picture with an iPhone. Okay, bear with me while I change something here. Okay. All right, check this thing out. Yeah, all right. I'm excited because this is the first time we've ever used this. And it looks like I could hurt someone with it. Okay, so this is the Lytra Light Field camera, and I've got a little webcam hooked up to it so that I can walk around.
It's out of focus.
Yeah, believe me, I had to download it is for auto-focusing, isn't it? Oh, yeah, hold on a second. Sorry. Oops. Someone wrote a utility to allow me to control this camera. And found it. Okay. Look how easy it is to use. Obviously, auto exposure 1 means do not auto expose. Oops, okay. Okay, here we go. All right, there we go. So it's darker in here than the LCD, so the background will be a little bit dark, and I apologize for that. So this is the Lytra Light Field camera, and we're looking at the back of the camera here. And I mentioned that you can zoom in and out with this little slider on the top. So I'm just, my finger's on top here, and I'm just sliding back and forth on the top here. And of course, I can take a picture. Maybe I should change the exposure. Okay, so on the bottom there's a power button, and everything else is accomplished by the touchscreen here. And after I take a picture, I can swipe from right to left to get to playback. Can I get closer here? And you can see all the pictures you've taken very quickly in this 3x3 mode. Okay, great. Now, what's cool about this is we have a light field engine right here on the back, in the camera. So somebody took a picture of me here with a Lytra camera. I can double tap to zoom in and tap here to focus on the camera itself. And then you'll see that I'm out of focus here. And I can tap to bring me in focus right on the back of the camera. Now, at this point, I would love to ask for Ren and Yi to come up here so I can take some pictures of you. Do you mind? So we'll take a couple of test shots. This is Ren Ung, our founder and CEO. Come up on this side, maybe. And Ren, maybe I can have you wear this.
We haven't talked about this.
No, we haven't. I didn't want to bring it up before. Okay, and you have some flowers, and you're going to stand in front. Yeah. All right. Okay, Yi, can I have you step forward here, and we'll have Ren. And Ren, just turn up so your face is lit, and Yi can move forward here. Okay. So I'm going to show you four different kinds of shots here that you can take with this camera that achieve maximum refocus. So these shots are designed to allow you to focus, refocus very close and very far to maximize the effect. Now that may not be your goal, and that's okay. You know, if your goal is to take a picture of your kids running around, there's no shutter lag, so it's a great camera for that. But presumably people are buying this to see the effect, or some people are. So what I'm going to do is, you know, you can see the distance here. It's like 4 or 5 inches away, and Ren's in the background there. And turn your head up so it's lit by the lights there. I can tap to auto-expose, and I'll take a couple pictures here. And I'll take one maybe of Yi. Sorry, I'm getting so close. She knows how this works. Okay, so that's so what I've done is take a picture at full wide of somebody. No, wait, you guys aren't done yet. At like four or 5 inches away, and then something further in the background. And now what I'll do is have Yi step forward a little, and Ren step back. If you don't want to get that close to somebody, you can zoom in. So I'm going to zoom in here using the slider and take another picture. And even more. So the further I zoom in, the further back that front subject can be. And it's just like in a normal camera. If you zoom in, the depth of the field becomes more and more shallow. Okay, I think you guys are done. Thank you so much. Let me have the flowers. We'll see these on the... We'll put these on the computer so you can see them in a second. Now, by default, this camera in everyday mode, which is what we call the normal mode, automatically chooses for you the range of refocus. And what that means is any picture you take, the subjects that are probably going to be in your composition can be refocused. Now, there are instances in which you may be taking pictures of objects that are out of our range. This would be like if you put something on the lens, you know, half an inch away, that's probably out of it's most definitely out of everyday mode's range. Which what that means is we won't be able to refocus on that thing and on something very, very far away. But there are instances, we did a food spotting event yesterday with a bunch of trucks. Unfortunately, it was pouring rain. But a lot of food photographers are interested in taking detail shots of food, you know, macro shots with a lot of texture. And so to help accommodate those types of creative people, we have a creative mode. Now, there's a little tray that swipes up on the bottom. And in the tray, you can access information about battery and storage. Where is this thing focused? All right, there. And on this leftmost icon is creative mode. It does two things. The first is that it unlocks the entire zoom range. So in creative mode, you can zoom in to the full 8x optical zoom of the lens. I'm going to change the exposure here. I'm sorry. Okay, there, that's better. Okay, so I have creative mode on, and I get a little blue border around the screen in creative mode. Now, this is what creative mode is for. So let's say I want to take a very close shot of some flowers or you know anything small. Now, when I hold the camera up to these flowers, they get very blurry, as you can see here. And what I can do is tap on the screen, and the camera will center your new range of refocus. So, blocking light. So wherever you tap, whatever subject you tap on in your live view becomes the center of the refocusable range. And what's really cool is I can actually make this thing touch the lens, and although there's not very much light, so we'll see what happens. And it will focus on things even touching the lens. In fact, Ren has a picture of an ant crawling across the lens, and you can refocus between the legs. And you can see here, everything is now out of focus because we've tapped on something very close. So if you tap again, it will then center refocus further out. So let's see, who has good light on them? All right, one of you will be chosen. Here we go. I'm sure you're thrilled. Okay, so I'm going to tap in creative mode here and then take a picture. All right, that's good, yeah. So another shot this is really great for is to zoom in at 8x, frame somebody fairly close, and tap on them. And that will center the refocus on their head. And you will, if you do this the right way, which means fairly close, you can refocus between nose, eye, and ear. What that means is, of course, you can always get the eye in focus. But what you also get is a really nice blurred background at f2. This is something that is difficult to accomplish with traditional point-and-shoots. Normally, you would need either one of those mega zoom things or an SLR with the long zoom. We can look at these pictures. I'm going to turn creative mode off by swiping back. And here's that one. This flower is touching the lens. And we can double tap to zoom in and tap to refocus. Now it's focused on the front petal. And you can see that it is indeed a fake flower. All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is plug this camera in and show you the rest of the flow and how the software is designed. Okay, so the camera has a micro USB slot, so port. I will plug it in here. Oh, it's over there. When I plug it in, the app launches and starts importing. I forgot to star something. So in our playback interface, we have a one-tap star, and that's an indicator that you like that picture. Those pictures import and are processed first, so they're ready for you to do whatever you want with them, whether it's share them with your friends or export them as JPEGs. So these pictures have all downloaded now, and they're being processed now by our Lightfield engine. And you can see them coming in to color there. I'm going to let those finish and scroll down a little bit. And these are some pictures I've taken this week so far at South By. Further down, we have pictures. And these pictures are on our website, and you've probably seen them. I've copied them into my library here. And these were all taken with this Lightro Lightfield camera. And so you can refocus here by clicking. This is actually one of my favorites. One of our engineers, Mooger, took this, and this would be a very difficult shot to get with any camera because, if you have an SLR and your eye is up to the viewfinder, your face is like 3 inches from this thing. And so, it could be difficult to achieve focus on the eye in that situation. One of our QA engineers took this. This is a shot of some bees flying, and you can click on the bees to bring them into focus. This was a fun gig I had. this is Coco Rocha. She's a supermodel, and she wrote us because she wanted to be the first high-fashion, light-field model. So we went out and photographed her in New York, which was a lot of fun, even though it was 100 degrees. And more and more. This is a great photobomb camera. This is a shot of my friend's cats. And there's this cat in the background looking crazy. Okay, so these were the shots we took here on stage. Again, the lighting is suboptimal here. You can see the background is pretty dark here. However, I can refocus on the flowers here in the foreground and then refocus on Yi here and our lovely, beautiful CEO in the background. Let me find one that is a little better lit. Okay, so here's, again, Yi with Ren in the background, both refocusable. I can zoom in here for a little more. And then these creative mode shots, which were shot very, very close, as you saw, have a tremendous amount of refocus in a very, very small area. So these pictures are interactive, even though the depth of field is like an inch here. And of course, what you lose in creative mode, potentially, is the ability to then refocus on the background. So this mode is an advanced light field mode. I cannot refocus here, whatever that is. But of course, I can play a lot in this area here. And when we roll out all in focus, you will be able to take these incredible extended depth of field macro shots at f2, which means you don't have to bring giant lights. Okay, so let's say I want to share some of these. I'll go back here and I will share. Let's share these two. Rand, you get to be famous with your wig. Okay, I'm currently logged in and I'm signed into my Lytra.com account, which is a web app that we are providing for free because these. Obviously, these pictures are a different file format that no one has ever seen. So this is on stage at South by Southwest. Ren looks great. And so does he. I don't want to get in trouble. Okay, so am I even connected to something? Is there Ethernet? Is there a hard line for network access? There is, but it is not happy. Yeah, useless. Useless is a good word. Okay. Well, I might have to find someone else's shared picture to show you guys. If I can't upload here. Let me show you the... Oh, I can't. It's online. Which one? Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. That's all right. All right. Much better. It's moving. Okay, so what is happening now is we are uploading two web representations of the light field pictures to Lytra.com. And after they've uploaded, I can click View Pictures, and it will now connect to our sharing site, our web app here. And here are these two pictures that we've taken. And they're interactive here on the web, and they're also interactive if you hit this site with an iPhone. So we have HTML5 and Flash players. It's automatic detection. You can zoom in fact, and refocus in here. And here's that creative mode shot of the flower. And one thing that Ren likes to point out, which is a good point, is that it's actually quite, you don't have to be that precise. You know, in creative mode, you can sort of tap around where you think your subject's going to be. He's got an amazing shot of a bee where you can refocus on different parts of the bee and the flower. And, you know, I think he literally went outside and took two pictures, just pointed at the thing, you know, this far away and took a couple shots. And so there's a lot of potential to take very interesting pictures in creative mode here. If I want to further share these, maybe I'll spare Ren and share another one. here's a picture of a meal we had the other night at Wink. Of some dessert here. If I want to share it, I could have shared it from the desktop app directly, but there's a little share button here. If I click here, I can share to some of the common social networks. Facebook, if I share it with Facebook, let's see. There it is, okay. This is on the stage. I can share the link here. Now, if I go to my Facebook page, here's the link here in my timeline. And the pictures are actually fully interactive inside Facebook. So if you click here, you can interact with them the same way you did on Lytra.com and in the desktop app. All right. Thanks. This is really cool because what it means is that as we roll out new features, so we'll roll out All in Focus, we'll roll out, you know, these different visualizations of this light field data, all of that will be embedded in the player. And so the player is traveling everywhere, and everywhere you have shared a picture, you'll be able to unlock new functionality in the picture. And you don't have to take new pictures. Oh, look, Kira commented on the link. Rocket. I am, I think. Okay. Yeah, so this is really cool. And what we're hoping for is further integration with other sharing sites. You know, at the moment, if you share to Twitter or Google+ or over email, you get a link, which comes back to your account here. We have embed code, and we have short codes on WordPress.com, and you can embed it in Tumblr as a video. We're going to have a full Q&A session in just a couple minutes. And so one thing we're really focused on is sharing, obviously. I mean, if you take these pictures and you can't share them, for many people, that's not useful. And so we are committed to pushing this same sort of viewing environment across all viewing platforms. So I think we should do Q&A, where we have about 15 minutes. And there's a mic in the center of the stage here. And come on up if you have questions.
Is there a way to do this with the images that you're creating? In other words, keep the foreground in focus, keep the background in focus, and blur out everything in between?
So in theory, yes. And those are some of the things that we're exploring. Because you know, at the moment, if you see a picture like that in a magazine, which we do all the time, you think, ah, whatever. It's focus stacking. You know, they took five pictures and stacked it. We've had product photographers very interested because they do this every day with product. And they're looking for single capture solutions, which will both save time, but also allow them to capture dynamic scenes involving very small things or product. So it's certainly something that could happen, yeah.
How is it with motion blur?
So motion blur is not solved by this camera. It's possible that we're collecting more some kind of information that can be used in the longer term to help get rid of motion blur. But it is still an issue. So if you have someone running across the screen, or you're zoomed into 8x and you're running, you know, there's a very low likelihood that you get a sharp picture.
And would you even call it video? Is there plans for video?
So this is single frame capture. Every frame is you know, single frame capture. So yes, light field video is absolutely a possibility. Now you can imagine that it will take quite a bit of computing power and storage. So those are the two bottlenecks, certainly, for getting it down to a $400 product. In the super high end, you could probably build one now. I don't know of any real solutions yet for that.
Yeah. In merging a 2D and 3D world and embracing your technology, I have a 3D printer and a 2D grand format printer. How can I best use your technology?
So at the moment, if you want to print in 2D, you can export a JPEG and print it. We've done a lot of tests with printing and have found that at our output resolution, 5x7, 5x5 works well. The camera was not designed for printing. Longer term, we could see the possibility of exporting different slices, you know, in that perspective shift. Actually, I haven't shown that to you. Well, we'll come find me after. We can do it. or should I show it? You want me to show it? Okay, I'll show it.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. I can't get away with it. And now you can mock me for going into Windows. All right.
Oh, sorry.
This is an engineering viewer that we used as a test environment for these sorts of pictures. On this environment, you can refocus just like you can in the other environment. One thing you can do here is refocus. We've exposed the interface for continuous, and we can see all in focus. Nice. What we can also do is change your perspective. So this, you know, this is like wiggling your head around. Pretty weird, yeah. This is a shot of Yi over there eating. There's a glass in front here with some fruit in it. And so you can, of course, refocus, see everything in focus. And this perspective shift is really cool. It's actually easier with here. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get an Easter egg in, so if you say enhance, it'll do stuff, you know? Yeah, so this is what we're talking about when we talk about perspective shift, you know, the ability to change your perspective. And this is, of course, what also gives us the ability to show you stereo 3D. We can say, well, show us all the light that's kind of coming towards the left, and then show us the right, the light coming to the right, and you show one to each eye, and you get 3D. And this is, in fact, what I was testing when some of you came in early, but doesn't seem to work with this projector because of light levels. And we have anaglyph and side-by-side modes and a 3D laptop somewhere. So if you find us somewhere, we may be demoing this stuff elsewhere. Okay, more questions?
Thanks for taking the time to show that. That just absolutely blew my mind. And you just kind of glossed over something really quick as you were doing another demo, but did you say that you can do, as the future versions of the software evolve, you can do things like this and the all-in focus with shots that you've already taken?
That's right.
If you took a shot from, you know, 10 days ago with the existing camera and two versions of the camera now, there's all in focus and all that. You can do those kinds of processing with the existing photos, right?
That's correct. So this camera captures the raw light field, so we aren't throwing away any information. And so when we unlock these features, you can retroactively apply.
I heard you say something about that. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
But I've got a million questions, like I know everybody else does. But since you're capturing all the different fields, all the different directions of light, is it possible, or is it something that you've considered to, let's say you take an object that's in light from four directions, to remove the light from one way so you have a more dynamic shot, add shadows to something that didn't have shadows, or remove a colored light that's, adjust an individual light source, for instance?
Yeah, it's actually really insightful. That is one of the things that you can do with a 3D depth map behind the scenes. So we have a lot of this information that can be manipulated, including light levels from different directions.
So if something is backlit, for instance, you can take the lighting, some of the backlight, and sort of enhance the front light, or something like in a room like this where you've got a lot of fill light but no spot, you know, that kind of thing. You can adjust an individual light source.
Yes, potentially. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I get a part where new versions of the software will be available to older photos. But how feature complete is the camera? Will there be new developments that will require a newer camera later, or will this camera be the be all and win all?
So that's a very good question. I mean we do capture the raw light field, so all of the features that we are planning on unlocking will certainly work with the pictures you take with this camera. And we can't rule out the potential for something longer term that would require a different camera. I can't actually think of anything offhand, but it would be difficult to rule that out.
Okay, so there's nothing planned. Thanks.
Not that I know of.
Hi. What about the possibility to stitch individual photos together into a spherical image? Is that possible with this?
Again, I think it's possible. I don't know if anyone's ever done it, because potentially the stitching would have to happen either in the light field domain, which is very complicated, or by exporting lots of assets and then stitching all of those and having a dynamic player for that environment.
Okay.
So,
and what about the possibility to make a hologram?
So I haven't seen it, but apparently there one exists, and I know that you can print. We have enough information to print holograms. It's something that we have thought about exploring as well. Certainly lenticular prints, you know, with multiple slices can be done. And that's almost the same data, just, you know, more discreet.
How are the Nikons and Canons responding to this? And do you see your company as a licensing partner to them or direct competitor? And do they have something similar coming down the pipeline?
Well, we don't know what they have coming down the pipeline, and we would never rule anything out. But at the moment, we are focusing on creating consumer cameras. And so that's really all the information we have.
Hi there, I'm Marcus. So in traditional two-dimensional photography, the photographer has usually used this blur to set the focus to his image, to say, I want to tell the story about the person in the foreground, or so this is what I see. How do you, obviously now you could probably do that so that the photographer could kind of set and lock it and export it as a two-dimensional photography, post, capture. But obviously you have a lot of interaction here in this digital world where you can interact with it, which is not possible on a printed screen. So how do you see that this affects the way we perceive photography? Because obviously you will make, in this image here, I would maybe see something different than the photographer was meant to show with this picture. How do you see this? Do you see the biggest potential in that the photographer can post-capture, post-process it? Or do you see the biggest gain in that the user can himself integrate, interact with the image?
Well, this is the best kind of question because the answer is basically yes. You know, we are creating a tool for creatives to use. And so if somebody, we've had photographers whose goal, for example, is, you know, they want to take pictures of people without, they want to take longer focal length shots in the street, you know, and they're getting a lot of blurry pictures. And so what they want to do is export it and filter heavily, you know, give it their personal style and then share that. And, you know, the Lytro camera is only the capture device. But we have a lot of people who are very interested in the idea of telling stories with depth because it is something that is a little bit new. And so, you know, that two cat picture is an example. This something in the background that's obscured that or out of focus that tells a story when it comes into focus. And so a lot of multimedia artists are interested either, you know, in capturing pictures that can be used with our player or having some way of exporting all the assets so that they can script it in their own multimedia environment later.
Oh, you mean like animated?
Yeah, like Ken Burns on steroids, basically.
Ah, right.
You know,
yeah.
You have all these new, all these new attributes you can play with in post. And in video, of course, you can imagine doing dynamic focus pulls and all sorts of very, you know, this very slow parallax movements that right now require a dolly. In 3D, someone was asking about 3D as well. I mean, shots from this close in 3D require giant rigs. You know, you need a beam splitter automatically. And so we do very well at that small scale 3D.
Thanks. Great. Yeah.
I take incredibly awful pictures because I'm shaky. Are you looking at building in, like, image stabilization tech and that kind of thing to help? Because I imagine it could adversely affect something like this if there were, you know, there was some added blur for me trying to take a picture, so...
Yeah, so this camera does not have image stabilization, but it is an F2 camera, which means that you get faster shutter speeds in the same light. But, I mean, going forward, you know, all the things that make traditional cameras better can certainly be applied in this realm as well. And, you know, we have some other tricks that we can do in our realm that they can't do.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi, I know you talked about the relationship between quality not being about optics anymore. And obviously, you know, the better the lens, the sharper the picture. So could you explain that a little bit more and like how sharp are the images and how is that going to...
Yeah, I think to some extent, I mean, optics are always going to be important because they, you know, all of the light flows through and it's hard to get around that. But in traditional cameras, the optics are highly refined to focus things onto a single plane because that is a requirement. So a lot of the elements exist to remove chromatic aberration, you know, all these little aberrations that might ruin a 2D picture when it's burned into a sensor. But because we have the direction of light, it is possible that we will be able to account for some of those aberrations simply by characterizing the lens. So if you remove an element, can you still make a picture in a light field? Maybe. And so that's what I mean by that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, can you elaborate on the extent of the perspective shift? I mean, can you spin around the room?
I wish you could. If you had a big, really big light field camera. No, you cannot. So the perspective shift obviously is limited to what we have captured. So that's the light coming into the lens and being recorded onto the onto the light field sensor. So, yeah, so it's small and it's dependent on a lot of things like sensor size and, you know, every light field system will have some amount of room. It's also highly dependent on the traditional depth of field that you would have gotten in a normal picture. If you see a lot of blur, then you will be able to do a lot of, you can basically perspective shift within the amount of blur that you captured. All right, so, you know, these shots where you have a very shallow depth of field in a traditional system are very good for these kinds of perspective shifts. But no, you know, you couldn't go to the other side of the glass unless you had a very large sensor. Yeah.
So in my professional work, I use Lightroom, Photoshop, and those sort of things to do effects that are beyond focal effects. Is there room for that in your desktop application for doing other sorts of manipulation that will then also apply to the interactive field and things like watermarking, branding, but then color shifting and that sort of thing?
So those are all things we're thinking about now. At the moment, the app does not have very much editing. It has rotate. And so, but we know people are going to want editing in this domain, but we want to make sure we do it in a way that makes sense for light field cameras. So some of the stuff will be obvious, like cropping and things like that. And in the longer term, there may be a larger ecosystem of editing tools. You know, as light field settles as a technology that a lot of people use, I'm sure there will be people that write editors for consumers that are outside of our target. And it may be, of course, that we target more advanced consumers in the longer term as well. So we're not ruling anything out. We know people want editing, and it's something that we're working on.
Okay, thanks.
The potential for moving pictures is just off the chain. Are you guys looking into that, and can you describe what any of that looks like? For moving pictures.
For movie makers, yeah. We've had some conversations with directors of photography, and they're in the high end, obviously, there's a lot of work being done in 3D, and there's a lot of interest. It's funny, though, because in traditional movie making, they're just shifting to digital. So, you know, there's this very long kind of latency in that industry, combined with the very high end, you know, of course, with all the 3D work that's going on. But yes, there's a lot of interest because it has the potential to make 3D capture a lot cheaper. And
it's got the potential to change so much. I'm surprised camera manufacturers are not talking to you immediately.
There's a lot of interest. So, you know, an actor steps off their mark, ruins a shot, but we can adjust. A light field camera could adjust a little bit to keep that eye in focus.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so just quick for export, you said to a 2D image, I assume you can focus at one point, export, focus at a different point, export. Is that correct?
That's right. So where you've left the picture is how we export it. Okay. So wherever you focused.
And then why square? What is that, just for the process?
It was a design decision. And it's kind of, I mean, the first pictures were square, you know, the original ones.
Okay. And then finally, do you see any particular uses for like stop motion movie photography?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do that now with this camera. By capturing pictures manually. But I think it would probably make things easier because, again, on that macro scale, typically stop motion is macro scale. Depth of field is a big issue. You know, if you can, you always want more. Okay, I think last question.
Yeah, sure thing. Pretty straightforward, simple one. Is just the focus is from 1 to 8, or zoom was 1 to 8, correct?
The zoom is up to 8x.
Yeah, okay. That was it. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Now, we have a bunch of Lightshow team members here. We have cameras. We have answers to questions. And we will probably be just right outside. So if you have more questions, please come by. And I'm supposed to ask you to rate this talk, so if you're interested.